And the title to my sermon today is The Love of God. And, you know, God has a way of always confirming his word. And aren't you glad that he does? You know, he said he'd honor his word above his name. And I tell you what, that's a pretty big promise there. Because there's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. And there's power in no other name but the name of Jesus. We can look at the world out there. We can look at a lot of things that are going on. And we can say, oh, this man's powerful. That man's powerful. I got news for you. They don't have no power unless God lets them have it. And he's in control. And he's a sovereign God. But what we need to do is begin to pray and to love people in spite of whether we agree or disagree or no matter what's going on with family members or anything else, you know, we need to begin to show them the love of God. And we need to ask the Lord to help us be able to do that. Because I tell you, sometimes we're not able to do that on our own. We have to ask him because he is love, okay? Well, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, all glory, all honor. I ask you to pour yourself through me today, Father. Really pour yourself out of me. I know that you dwell inside of me. I thank you for that presence. I thank you for that love. I thank you, Father, that you love everyone in here. They're special in your eyes. When they came and sat down in this assembly today, you smiled and said, oh, that's my special Bob. That's my special Clyde. That's my special Holden. That's my special Adra. They're all special to me. They're all very special. And you know what? There's only one like you in all the earth. And God don't make no junk. He only makes classic cars in people. I'm a car guy. I like cars, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, I like hot rods, and I know sometimes the old hot rods, they get all redone, and they get what they call resto mod, where they restore them and put all new stuff inside of them. And I keep saying, Lord, put some new stuff in me. Put some new stuff in some of these old bodies that are getting tired and getting wearing out a little bit. And you know what? I thank God that he's keeping us all, and he knows he's in control of it all. My first scripture here today is John 3:16-17. Yes. This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures in all of the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And I thank God for that. I thank him every day for that. Because I tell you what, if he hadn't done that, we'd all be in big trouble. All of us. Praise God. 1 John 4:7-21 says this. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It says, he that loveth not really doesn't know God, for God is love. And this is manifest, the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I love that word propitiation. That word propitiation in the Greek is a word that means atonement. It means, it's translated some places as the mercy seat. And I like the word atonement because the word atonement is a compound word. And I'm going to tell you, if you break it down, it means at one ment. He wants you to be at one with him. Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer. He said, Father, I pray that they might be one. He said, you and me, and me and them. And he also said that then the world will believe. And until God brings us to a place where we stand up as one in him, the Christian folks I'm talking about, the world ain't going to believe. Because, you know, Jesus knew in the natural that his ministry was drawing to a close on this earth in the natural. When his disciples came and told him, the Greeks and stuff are coming and they're saying, we would see Jesus. And I got news for you. Creation out there still saying, we would see Jesus. And we have the ability to either show them Jesus or show them that old man. And you know what? I'm praying, Lord, help me get rid of that old man completely. And let me show the love of God to people, no matter who they are, what they've done, or what situation they're in. Because a lot of times people are in the situations they're in because they can't help themselves. But I tell you what, he's our ever-present help in time of need. And he will help you when no one else can and no one else will, if you'll just call upon his name. Praise God. I'm going to read this to you here. It says, for beloved, let us love one another, for God is love, and everyone that loveth is born of God and God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He that is that in this is manifest the love of God toward us, because he sent his only begotten Son that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that he loved us, but not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the atonement, the mercy seat. You know, when talking about the mercy seat in the Old Testament, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and he'd take the blood of a spotless lamb, and he'd sprinkle it on the mercy seat, and all the sins of the nation for the next year, for that year, were taken care of according to that. But let me tell you what, Scripture says that Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had another plan, and his plan involved him coming in the form of his Son, him coming in the form of a man, and him laying down his life to cleanse us from all sin. And he only had to do that one time. The high priest in the Old Testament had to do it every year. He had to take that lamb in there, that blood of the lamb, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. But let me tell you what, the true mercy seat was Jesus, and the true blood was Jesus, and the true forgiveness was Jesus. It was all about him, and it's not so much about us, but it's about him and what he's doing in our lives. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. Now, you know, if you talk to a lot of people who are trying to throw you throw a burr in your theology, they'll say, well, no man, Scripture says no man has seen God. And I tell you what, you have to know who God is. You know, Scripture says that God is spirit. And, you know, it tells us the word for spirit is the word pneuma in Greek. And the word pneuma means a wind. And, you know, we can walk outside and you've never seen the wind. You say, well, Oscar, I've seen the wind a lot of times. No, you haven't. You've seen the effect of the wind on something, but you've never actually ever seen the wind. And I got news for you. That scripture where it says no man has seen God at any time, you know, it goes on and it says, in Hebrews 1, And 1 through 12 says this, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. But I was just going to tell you, back in the New Testament, in John 14, 8 and 9, Philip said to Jesus, "Show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient." Show us the Father. And you know what Jesus said? He said, "Have I been with you so long, and you never knew me?" He said, "Don't you know when you've seen me," and I'm paraphrasing this, he said, "when you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Now, that seems to be two conflicting scriptures there. No man hath seen God at any time. But then back there, Jesus said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And why did he say that? Because when he said, "When you've seen what I do, who I am, you've seen the effect of the Father in me." He said, "I and the Father are one." And I'm going to tell you what, he wants you to be one with him. And when you're one with him, guess who also you're going to be one with? The Father. And I'm going to tell you what, God had a plan from the very beginning of foundation of the world, because Jesus was considered to be the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, this scripture I was going to tell you about, that's John. If you want to read that back there in John, it's John 14, chapter 14, verse 8 and 9. And that whole section there is really great to read sometime. But in Hebrews 1, 1 through 12, this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. He made, produced, and built, and operate, and arranged them in order through," guess who? "Jesus Christ. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the radiance of the divine. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature, upholding, maintaining, guiding, and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had offered himself, accomplished our cleansing of sin and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high." I got news for you, folks. He was the pattern son. He was the fulfillment of what God said in Genesis about, "Let us make man in our own image and our own likeness," because the Amplified tells you he was the outraying of the divine. He was the exact imprint of what God was, but the difference was is that he was in flesh. You know, up until that point, angels had never, ever worshipped a man. Never. The spirits of angels in the heavenlies, they were never told to worship a man. They had to be told to worship Jesus Christ when he came in the form of a man. And guess what? They worshiped him. And it says, "Taking a place ranking by which he himself became a much superior to angels, as the glorious name title which he inherited is different and more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son, and today I have begotten you,' established you in the official sonship relationship with kingly dignity? And again, 'I will be to him a father, and he will be to me a son.' Moreover, when he brings the firstborn son into the habitable world, he says, 'Let all the angels of God worship him.'" The Spirit of God had to say that to him, because they wouldn't have worshiped Jesus, but they knew then. And it goes on and says, referring to angels, he said, God who makes his angels winds and ministering servants flames of fire. Now, I'm going to tell you what, John the Baptist, when he was going to baptize Jesus, he told Jesus, he said, I have need to be baptized of you. And Jesus said, no, you suffer it to be so, because this is where this all begins, is basically what he was saying. He said, and John said, I was not worthy to reach down and unlatch his shoelace. He said, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I'm going to tell you what, when a little fire comes into your life, and a lot of times we experience a lot of fire at times, and fire is something that can be really comforting, and it can be really uncomforting at times. And when it's uncomforting is when you get a little too close to it, or you're acting foolish around fire. But when you act foolish around fire, guess what? Bob could understand this because he was a fireman for a long time. You start acting foolish around fire, guess what? You get burned, and it hurts. And it hurts bad, and sometimes it will take your life. But I tell you what, his fire is fire that wants to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life. And a lot of times the wood, hay, and stubble is the things that we try to hang on to. Because we think, oh, well, maybe I could use a little of that wood sometime. I could use a little of that stubble to cover my grass because, you know, the grass seed ain't growing real good. I'll put some stubble over it, you know. The wood, the hay, and the stubble. And I tell you what, his fire is to consume those things. And those are things that are not necessary in your life. And sometimes God has to let you go through some pretty bad things for you to make up your mind, this ain't working. This stuff here that's happening here, this is stubble. This is wood and hay. It needs to be consumed of you, Lord. And I keep trying to hang on to it and build something. Remember the story of the three little pigs? Remember that story? Oh, they should have put that in the Bible. First little pig, he built a house, and when he built it of straw, I believe it was, the big bad wolf come along and huff and puff, and he blew it down. Next one he built it with sticks, huffed and puffed and blew it down. The last one, though, he built it with bricks. And you know, bricks are a type of stones. And you know what God calls you? He says, you're lively stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And that wolf huffs and puffs and huffs and puffs and huffs and puffs, but he can't blow that house down. And I got news for you. When God's building the house, nobody can blow it down. And I tell you what, you are his house. You are the temple of God. Scripture says, know you not that you're the temple of God. The scripture says, know you not that you're lively stones. You're built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. I love the song we sang today. I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning with Jesus. You know, I'm seated in heavenly. We kind of sang them songs about being an overcomer, a conqueror. And you know what? You are a conqueror as long as you acknowledge God in the middle of whatever situation you're in, whatever circumstance you're in. Don't look at the situation. Don't look at the circumstance. You know, God gave me a message years ago. I've shared this with you before. I was sick, had the flu, sick as a dog. I couldn't hardly raise my head up. And you think, well, that's a strange time for God to start talking to you. He talks to you anytime he wants to. And let me tell you what, sometimes it's at times when you're thinking, oh, Lord, really? And you know what? The Lord told me that I was to get my Bible out and start studying. And my Strong's Concordance. And I did. And I'm going to tell you what, about maybe 2 or 3 months before that, I was standing out in church, and I'm standing there, and I wasn't up on the platform at that point. I hadn't sat on the platform. I was standing out in church, and the Lord spoke the name Anak to me, Anak. And I thought, what in the world does that? I had never seen the name Anak, had no idea what it was, didn't have a clue. But I've learned that when God speaks to you, even if you don't know what it's all about, take notice of it. I opened my Bible and got a piece of paper, and I wrote down the name Anak. I don't know if I spelled it right. I'm not the greatest speller in the world. But I wrote down the name Anak. And when I was sick, I opened my Bible, and I just happened to open it to that page that I had that piece of paper stuck in there about Anak. So I thought, okay, Lord, you're directing me toward Anak. What I do with this? And I felt like I needed to look up the name Anak, where it was in the Bible. So I looked it up in Strong's Concordance. And I found out that it was in Numbers chapter 13. How many people know that most of the time when you see the number 13, isn't that the one that all of the motorcycle guys put on their thing, the gang guys and all that, 13? Supposed to be kind of an unlucky number, right? You know. But anyway, Numbers 13. So I turned to Numbers 13 and I started reading. And I started reading that when the children of Israel were getting ready to go over into the promised land, and I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God's getting you ready to go into the promised land. And you know where the promised land is? Wherever he leads you to. That's the promised land. And anyway, so when I looked it up, I seen that they were getting ready to go over to the promised land, and they sent over 12 spies to spy out the land. And you know, sometimes when God wants to send you somewhere, you don't really have to spy out the land. You just have to move on in and do whatever he's told you to do when you do it. But they sent over 12 spies to spy out the land. And when they got over there, they saw giants. Big giants. They saw guys that were way bigger than Shaq. And way big. You know, that Shaq, he's a big guy. He's 7'1" or something like that. And he weighs over 300 pounds. I love that guy. Every time I see him, he makes me laugh because he's so funny. He's got the greatest sense of humor. He's a happy giant. But anyway, I love that guy. But I tell you what, I've seen some other guys come along that make him look little, that are taller than him, way taller than him. And matter of fact, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was at some kind of a, it was a game or what it was. He was sitting in a chair. And Shaq went over to say hi to him. And he went over and he said hi. And Kareem's not always the most cordial guy. So he's kind of standoffish sometimes. So he got up and Shaq said, no, you don't have to get up. You don't have to get up. He got up and he stood up and he looked like to me is about that much taller than Shaq. So he's really a giant guy, you know. And anyway, they saw these giants over there. They saw great amounts of fruit. They saw grapes. I love grapes. They're my favorite fruit. I've told you stories about grapes many times. I love grapes. But anyway, they saw grapes that had to be carried between two poles. They were so many of them, so massive. I mean, they saw some tremendous fruit and stuff. But they also saw the giants. And they came back, and 10 of the guys stood up and said, there was giants in the land. And man, they was big. And I'm telling you my own words here. They said they was big. And they said, And you know these giants, they said, we were like grasshoppers in their eyes. Now that's a weird statement to say. We were like grasshoppers in their eyes. And so we were in our own eyes. Quit confessing the negative. When you confess the negative, guess what? You're going to live in the negative. Quit confessing the negative. Start confessing the positive. And they said, we're not able to go over and take the land. That was 10 of them. There was 12. There was two other ones. The other two was, that's right. I was waiting for somebody to say it. Yeah, the other two was Joshua and Caleb. Now, Joshua, he was kind of a leader. But Joshua didn't say anything. Only Caleb spoke up. And Caleb said, we are well able to go over and take the land. And he made this weird statement and he said, and they'll be bread for us. They'll be bread for us. Talking about them giants. Now, I'm going to tell you what. That was a weird statement to make. But if you notice, if you go back and read that, Joshua didn't say a word. Joshua's name means God the Savior. God the Savior. And let me tell you what, if you come up into the New Testament, when Jesus said he came in his Father's name, the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yahshua, Joshua, okay, Joshua. And I'm going to tell you what, when you got Joshua with you, he don't have to say anything, because whatever your word is, he's going to back it. And that statement, he said, they'll be bread for us. And I've shared this part of the sermon with you before. When I was a little kid, and I've seen it recently, and I didn't know it was still around, but there was this commercial, and it was called Wonder Bread. And Wonder Bread, their commercial was, Wonder Bread builds strong bodies in 12 ways. 12 in Scripture is the number for governmental perfection. How many spies was over in the land? 12. 10 gave a bad report. 10 is the number for the law and responsibility. And you know, in the law, if you try to fulfill the law, you have the responsibility of fulfilling every dot, jittle, every one. Because Scripture says if you miss one item in the law, you're guilty of it all. And why is that? Because he wanted to let you know that you couldn't do this without him. Jesus did. Joshua had to be with you. God the Savior had to be with you. And let me tell you what. So they also have a commercial in the last few years, which I haven't seen it for a while, but they had a milk commercial. And they stole that commercial from the bread commercial. But in that bread commercial, they had a little boy about this tall, and he took a bite of Wonder Bread. And then he was about this tall. Then he took another bite of Wonder Bread. Then he was a full-grown man. And you know what? In God, the giants in your land, the giants that try to affect you, and Anak's name meant a chain about the neck, a stranglehold. The giant situations in your life are trying to strangle the life out of you. They're trying to get you in bondage. They're trying to put you under in the jail, so to speak. I'll put it to you like that, in the prison. And the prison can be a habit. It can be a situation. It can be a lot of different things. But I want to tell you what. If you look at it in the right way and say, God, this giant is going to be bread for me because I'm going to trust you in the middle of it. I'm going to be more than a conqueror. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to stand up and there's nothing going to stop me because you're on my side. Then you know what? You'll be just like that kid that took the first bite. You're going to grow a bunch. And then the next time another giant comes along, you're going to take a bite and you'll grow up a little bit more until you grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And it's a process. A lot of guys like to say, oh, bless God, I'm there. You ain't there yet. I ain't seen one of you there. You're lying. But I tell you what, you can come there. Keep moving forward in him. And I'm waiting to see that. Creation standing, like I told you last week, creation standing on tiptoe, waiting to see the glorious sight, it says it in Philippians, of the sons of God coming into their own. Why? Because all of creation, all of it, not a little bit of it, not a few people, not a couple Christians, all creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. But we have to begin to quit confessing the giants that we're grasshoppers in their eyes. You know, a grasshopper, if it's down on the ground, you can step on it and crush it because you're a giant to that grasshopper. But it said, because we were in their eyes, so we were in our eyes. And quit telling yourself you're the grasshopper. You're not. You're a king and priest unto God. You're more than a conqueror. You're a son of God. Might not be a full-grown son of God. He might not have gave you the authority yet of a full-grown son. But it's coming if you keep growing in him. Praise God. Praise God. Moreover, when he brings the firstborn son into the habitable world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. They did go up and take the land, but not right then because they were disobedient. He let the enemies beat them back. But Caleb was the only one that said, we're well able to go over and take it. And if they'd have went right then, they would have been well able to go over and take it. But because they pulled back, then you know what? Remember what happened with Lot when he came out of Sodom and Gomorrah? Remember that? They were told not to look back. Quit looking back. I'm going to tell you something. We just got sent a message today from a sister in the Lord that the old church, they tore it down. They tore it down. Quit looking back. Look forward. Look forward. You know, that was a building. A lot of wonderful things happened in that building. But it was a building. It happened in that building because of the presence of God and the people who were in the building. You are God's building. You are stones built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Quit looking back. Guess what? When Lot's wife looked back, what happened? She was turned into a pillar of salt, it said. Well, praise God. I've been watching some historic things over there, and they're seeing pillars over there, and they're saying, I think that might be Lot's wife, you know. I don't know if it is or not, but I'll tell you what, God was saying something there. We used to sing a song, don't look back, children of Israel, don't look back, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'll tell you what, it is at hand. It's always at hand. It's been at hand for 2,000 years, and it's going to continue to be at hand. But someone's going to have to come up and take a hold of it. And when they come up and take a hold of the hand of him who is altogether perfect and really follow the leading of that Holy Spirit, then guess what? Creation's going to start getting set free. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me read the rest of this, and I'll close in a minute here. It says, but the son, he said to him, your throne, O God, is forever to the ages of the ages, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of absolute righteousness, justice, and straightforwardness. You have loved righteousness. You have delighted in integrity and virtue and uprightness and purpose, thought, and action. You have hated lawlessness, injustice, and inequity. Therefore, God, even your God, the Godhead, has anointed you with the oil of exuberant joy and gladness above your fellows, beyond your companions. You know, the Lord gave me a poem years ago about I've placed my gladness within your heart. I've placed my gladness to give you a new start, to take you to a greater knowledge of me, to fill you with my spirit and to set you free. When trials would come on every side, my gladness will remain and my joy will abide. When those about you would grumble and complain, if you will but praise me, my joy will reign. And even a river shall spring up from within, flowing out to those who are lost in sin. And you know what? They need that river to flow out to them, folks. There's a river inside of you of the Spirit of God, and it wants to come forth, and it wants to cleanse humanity. Praise God. For your oil of exuberant joy and gladness above and beyond your companions, and further you, Lord, did lay the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain and continue permanently. They will grow old and wear out like a garment, like a mantle thrown over oneself. You will roll it up, and you will change and be replaced by others. But you remain the same, and your years will never end nor come to failure. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby know we, this is back to King James, hereby know we that we dwell with him. He is in us because he has given us his spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The Savior of what? Just the Christian folks? The world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Praise God. Praise God. A little bit more and I'll be finished. And we know and have believed that the love of God is in us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is as, and so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, if you find yourself hating somebody, start praying for him. Start praying for him. If a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. I was telling the people back there that Margaret used to tell the little kids that she watched. She was great with little kids. I mean, she was really good with them. I've never seen anybody be much better with little kids than she was, in the sense that they loved her. She corrected them. She didn't let them act up. She made them behave. But she did it in such a way that they loved her. And she'd spank them once in a while if they were really bad, but they loved her. And you know what? She would say, even to Sarah once in a while, and Sarah was one of her nieces, and Sarah was kind of a booger. She was always pushing it a little bit when she was little. Margaret would say to Sarah, she'd say, I don't like you, Sarah. I don't like you, but I love you. I love you. And you know what? Sometimes God says to us, I don't like you, son, but I still love you. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like how you've been, but I still love you. I still have my hand on your life. I still have great plans for you. And all you have to do is just be obedient to what he tells you to do to move into those plans. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's pretty much what I had to share with you. I'm going to tell you one more thing. I'm going to tell you five things here, and then I'm done. And these five things are things that Jesus didn't say. You want to know five things Jesus didn't say? And these five things are said in the world all the time. I read this and I thought, boy, this is good. Number one was, follow your heart. Jesus didn't say that. He said, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things, and who can know it? That's what he said. But what he really said was, follow me. Be true to yourself. You ever heard my people say, be true to yourself? Jesus said, whosoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself. Whoa, that goes a little bit against that, don't it? Three, believe in yourself. Jesus said, believe in me. And I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to believe in him and to trust him and look to him, he will make you prosper in areas where you're not even capable of prospering on the natural. You'll find favor with people that really didn't want to have favor with you. Next one is live your truth, okay? Jesus said, I am the truth. If you live for him, you're living the truth, and it becomes your truth. Jesus said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Praise God. That was five things. I liked those. I thought those were pretty good. And a lot of times those sayings out in the world, those are good sayings. And you can basically accomplish just about anything you set your heart to or set your mind to. But if you want to walk with God, make sure he's the center of all that. He's the center of all that. And I'm going to tell you what, having big houses, big cars, big lands, and big bank accounts does not make you any more holy than anybody that has nothing. You know, Jesus stood one day and watched them casting money into the treasury as they were going to the temple. And this little old woman came up and she threw in a penny. I'm going to call it a penny. She threw in a little small mite, they said, which I think was more basically a penny. And Jesus stood back and said, and he marveled. And they said, well, Lord, why are you marveling at that? He said, because all of these other people have given of their abundance. This little person, that's all she had. She gave everything she had. And he marveled at that. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you what. When you give God all you've got, then he is extremely, extremely pleased with you. You know, I'm going to talk about Jack because it's going to be his birthday. And he ain't here, so we can't sing happy birthday to him. But, you know, Jack came down, Mark brought Jack down to the shop one day years and years ago. And Jack was little, you know, he's a pretty little kid. And Jack was a helper. He always wanted to help. Anything he was doing, he wanted to help. And, you know, and he said to Wiley, he says, isn't there something I can do to help, you know, around the shop? Wiley said, well, here, Jack, take a broom. You can sweep up a little bit, you know. And Jack started sweeping up. And Jack, keep on talking. Wiley gave him some money for sweeping up. Jack came over to me and he said, Grandpa, I want to give this money to you. That's all he had. We don't realize out of the mouth of babes that God has perfect praise.
He was willing to give me what he had just worked for. He gave it all to me. And I told him, I said, Jack, I can't take your money, buddy. I said, you keep it and buy yourself. No, 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 he said. I want to give it to you. And I said, well, okay, thank you. I took it because it would have hurt his feelings if I hadn't taken it. But I'm going to tell you what. When God puts you in a situation that you give your all, he's going to bless you. And I'm going to tell you what. He blessed Jack in years to come. You know, Jack, I don't know what Jack's doing right now. I don't know. But I'm tell you what. God's presence in his life. And whether or not he's going to church and stuff, I don't know what he's doing because I don't see him very often. But I'm going to tell you what, God knows exactly where he is. God knows the hour, the minute, and I believe he's going to do some great things through all of them boys, every one of them. They might say, oh, Oscar, don't say that. My mother used to say that to me all the time. She used to say, son, don't get too entangled with the world. God's going to expect things of you someday. And I'd say, oh, God, I wish you wouldn't say that. I'd be driving in the car with her, and she'd tell me that stuff when I was taking her to work because I worked at the same company then. She told me that when I was a little kid, she'd tell me that. She'd say that to me pretty often. But I was pretty entangled with the world. I was out there doing that worldly stuff, you know. But you know what? She was right. She was absolutely right. And I'm going to tell you what, his word never returns void. And I'm going to tell you what, we got some future preachers here, some future witnesses to the Lord. They witness to the Lord now. But God, every one of the young people in here, you weren't here by accident today. You were here because God ordained it for you to even hear this message about the giants. Because there's a lot of giants that come at young people nowadays. They see and hear things that in my day you never saw and you never heard. And there's too much available for them to try to draw them off. A lot of giant things. Drugs are available everywhere. You know, they can get alcohol anywhere. They can do a lot of things. They can get a lot of bad stuff very easily nowadays, too easily, to be honest with you. But God will keep protect you in with the giants when they come after you. Well, praise God. That's all I had to share with you today. I love you guys. I appreciate you. And every time I tell that story about Jack, it makes me cry because what a tender heart. What a tender heart. And he still has that tender heart. And you know what? Something I'll tell you this, and all my grandkids are like this. Jennifer's too. I can go to one of Josh's or Jacob's baseball games or something, or even all these kids here. When I see them, usually they'll come up and give me a hug. They don't care if their friends see that, hugging Grandpa. You know, a lot of kids won't do that because they don't want to look, you know, or hugging a grandma. They don't want to look like, you know, that. But I'll tell you what. Hug your grandparents. They need a hug from you guys once in a while. They need you to love on them a little bit. They've loved on you for years and prayed for you for many years. Praise the Lord. Well, if you all stand, I'll close in a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Your words are spirit and they're life. I thank you for this word today. You know, I try to wait on you and share what you'd have me share. Thank you for the witness of Mark talking about the love and how important that was. And here, that's exactly what you was going to have me talk about, the love of God. And I thank you, Father. And I ask you to just let whoever hears this message out there on the internet, let it minister to their hearts. Let it draw them closer to you. Let them realize that they're well able to go up and take the land, whatever land you're sending them to take. They're well able. They're conquerors. They're victorious. They can walk with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, and they can have their feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. And, Father, I just ask you to just help them walk that pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. You alone are worthy of it all. Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you all.